have tuned into Paradigm Shifters, and who are Paradigm Shifters are people who are making a difference in our collective consciousness on the planet at this time of great change. And you know, one of the things that turns the wheels in our societies is money and business and so on. And we have somebody with us today who is very inspirational when it comes to working with business, new ideas, and the consciousness that can be applied to, golly, maybe even to corporate thought. What do you think? Welcome to the show, Peter Matisse.
Thank you, Veronica. It's great to be on.
And I'd like to say Peter has an institute called the Conscious Business Institute, which you evolved after being a venture capitalist, but not as a venture capitalist. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. I'm calling myself a recovering venture capitalist these days.
That's a good title. So what made you make the switch?
Well, I was involved in the business world for about 18 years, working for larger companies, for the big five consulting firms, running my own company, and then becoming a venture capitalist. And throughout all those years, I realized that most people, including me, really wanted to do something different or were not working at peak performance or whatever you want to call that. So, for example, when I was working at a big electronics company in Germany, I realized that in the morning people were checking out their lives when they walked through the doors. And by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, they were too tired to check back into their lives. So they were sitting in their little cubicles at work and basically wasting their entire lives. And I felt the same way. I felt, isn't there another way that we can work and make money that really fulfills our purpose, our souls, and our wallets? So I guess it's the holy grail people are asking these days. How can I make a living, make money, build a career that's in alignment with who I really am?
Good question, isn't it? So discovering that feeling in yourself, it was pretty courageous to stand up and say, I'm going to do it differently. What kind of steps did you take? Because a lot of people are faced with how to make a change from this way of being or that corporate structure into something more self-satisfying.
Yeah, that's a good question.
And it isn't just self-satisfying. I'm going to correct that term. It's like self-expressive, self-inventive, self-creative, isn't it?
Yeah, authentic.
Authentic.
Representation
absolutely.
Of who you really are. It took me quite a time because it's really uncharted territory and there's not really any education out there which provides this shift. So it took me a lot of dabbling time where I tried to find the right way. I started it early 90s, actually, where I was looking for different ways, and I eventually decided to sell my company because one morning I woke up and I looked out of the window and saw the Alps in Munich. I'm German, so I was working in Germany. I saw the Alps in a beautiful alpine glow, and it really stopped me in my track, and I said, what the heck am I doing here? What is it that I really want to do, and how can I build this in my life?
And what was your company at the time? Was that still the venture capitalist company?
No, that was my own software company that I founded together with a couple of friends, and we were doing quite well, but this consulting and software company wasn't really who I was. So I was exhausted. I was overworked. It went quite well, but it didn't fulfill me. So after I made that realization, I decided to sell my share in the company and move to California for 3 months to find my purpose. And you can imagine what you can find in 3 months. It doesn't really go anywhere.
Well, California is the ragged edge, so everything goes there, right?
Yes. Yes. Innovation comes from here. That's true.
Yes.
So I ended up staying 3 years, and I got involved in a lot of Native American traditions. My fiancée at that time, she was having chronic pain, and so she was looking into alternative healing ways and intuition and how does the body really work. And we together traveled around the globe, meeting with about 100 shamans, healers, intuitives, really people that are not on the map in this in our current world here.
Well, that'd be interesting.
Traditional map.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and so it completely changed the paradigm of how I look at life. And we stuck with a few people, especially one person that's become my mentor, and I've worked with him for about 12 years now. And so he helped me a lot with doing this shift. But I still stayed in the business world for quite a while, trying to implement some of these new principles, But eventually, while I was a venture capitalist in Germany, I realized if I really want to live this new principle, this new paradigm, I have to get out of the traditional business world and create it, basically.
So what would you say the paradigm is, the authenticity of the individual consciousness, or what is consciousness to you?
Well, let's look at the flip side first, and then it's easier to look at what we're really going for.
Sure.
The current paradigm that I see most businesses, governmental organizations, even private relationships are built upon is what we call a model of dominance and subservience.
Right.
And this model of dominance and subservience has been around for quite a few years, some millennia actually, and it's based on lack. There's not enough around. So what we have to do is to try to get into this dominant role. Otherwise, we will be a subservient person, and we have to be subservient to somebody else. So you can see it in companies that this dominance and subservience model is everywhere. And since it's lack-based, it's fear-based, there's never going to be a sense of ease, a sense of flow, a sense of sustainability. It's not possible. So if we want to build companies in a different way, we have to break away from this model of dominance and subservience.
It's very suppressive, isn't it?
It's suppressive, but it's not a one-way road. And this is something which is really important, because we think that the dominator is in the leading role here, but the subservient person is also an active role. So anybody who's a dominator or a subservient uses exactly the same mechanisms to get in that role actively. So unless we become, and I guess that's why I call it Conscious Business Institute, unless we become conscious and accountable for our contribution to the system as a dominator or as a subservient person, nothing's going to change.
Well, that's making me think a lot. So it's basically like carving out a reactive territory and holding that, isn't it?
Yes, but reactive becomes active in this way. And I think that's a shift, because everybody is responsible and everybody can change it. The subservient person is not in a victim role. And we can really see that the we call them six manipulators, which we really work in, this model, which is, for example, shame, blame, guilt, outrage, something like that. So you can see that these manipulators are used by the dominator, by the boss, for example, in the company. He shames, he blames the people that they're not working enough. But equally so by the subservient people. They are blaming their boss for being too one-sided or too egoistic or not caring about them. They shame them. They assert guilt. They are outraged. They use exactly the same manipulators to stay in the subservient role. And once we become accountable for that, or see that, how we use these manipulators, we become responsible, and we need to change that. And we can change that.
Interestingly, as you talk, I go, our education system is full of that as well.
Yes. Yeah, it's all throughout our society. If you look at our school, primary school, high school education system, even our college, our MBA schools, etc., they're all built on this model of dominance and subservience. You have to sacrifice your authenticity, you have to learn this, you have to become somebody in order to survive in this culture, to make money and to be accepted and to become somebody, basically.
Interesting. So when did you start Conscious Business Institute? Did you suddenly just know to do that?
Kind of, because as I mentioned, for a long time I was looking for what is it that I'm really supposed to do with this, or what is it that I really want to do with this. It didn't fit in the old business paradigm. So after I quit my job in Germany, I eventually said I need to burn my boats. I need to start from scratch. I left Germany. I left my job. I left the people. I came to Santa Barbara and started everything from scratch, greenfield. And after 6 months, I realized that I was exactly in the same boat. I was overworked. I was doing the same things that dissatisfied gave me dissatisfaction in my life. And so I thought, my God, what's going on here? Why do we recreate our lives all the time?
Took yourself with you.
Yes, I took myself with me. That's exactly what it was. And I started working with individuals, with leaders. I gave workshops all around the country. And on one of these flights back to Santa Barbara, I was dozing by the window, and I just saw this picture in front of me, the Conscious Business Institute, with the four pillars that are on the website. And it was really overwhelming to me at that time. So I put it in the drawer for over a year. And after a year, something changed in my life, and I said, there's no day to waste. I've got to found this thing. And after I did, I got in touch with a couple of people, and within 2 months, I had about 16 people on board that wanted to contribute. So
and that
took a while.
Were they also people that were making the leap from the old model, or people like you looking for their authentic nature?
Yes, they were all people who made some kind of shift in all walks of life. A friend of mine, for example, he founded a company. He lived up in the Bay Area and said, okay, old way, I don't want to do it anymore. Is there another way to do it? So he resonated with it.
Mm-hmm.
Another person founded a 380-people law firm and has been very successfully practiced law for most of his life. And he said, you know, I'm tired of it. There's no point of it doing it anymore. So I guess a lot of people come to the conclusion where they actually do the step and say, you know, I'm done. Is there another way?
Well, and what are the four pillars? I have them right here, but I think people who are listening might want to hear what those are.
Yeah, the four pillars are leadership, education, because we think the fish smells from the head, as we say in Germany. We have to start with the leadership if we want to change a paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, management consulting. So we have to work on a consulting level, how to build companies in a different way. The third one is financing. So we fund companies and help companies get funded, because I think that's an integral part if you look at Wall Street these days.
Yeah.
And the fourth one is research and certification. Mm-hmm. So basically to substantiate what we practice with research.
Well, and that's actually four basic pillars, and these are all based on consciousness, which is kind of interesting. What about the fellow with the 300 and some odd people in the law firm? Did he turn that into a conscious business? Wouldn't that be wonderful?
He left.
Oh.
He left his firm.
I just got excited thinking, wow, that's going to shift the legal paradigm there.
Oh, that would be nice. Huh?
Wouldn't that be great? So you must have had to go through a lot of, you said you went through the shamanic trainings and so on, but you set up trainings for people to become more conscious in business, eh?
Yes.
And how did you develop that? Did you know it intuitively, know it authentically, devise it yourself or in a collaboration with your new people?
Yeah, that's a good question. First of all, I basically packaged all the things that I've seen over the 15 years transition period that I've done, so that people don't need to take 15 years, but they actually have a guideline to go from point A to point B.
Okay.
So it's from my own experiences of going this transition, otherwise it wouldn't be authentic, I guess. And the second thing where some of these methodologies originate from, it's a combination of business experience, so it applies to the real world, business world. And the second part of it is a really new insight into human behaviors and how we create success in our lives. And that's mainly from people that I've worked with over the past 15 years.
So in your coaching and mentoring, do you actually take people into, at your institute, do you actually take people into self-awakening, self-discovering kind of healing work or shamanic work?
Well, not necessarily shamanic work, but really introspective work, because it has to start with ourselves. I think that's one of the main changes that we're looking at. Right now, we often look at things outside of us and say, I want to change my financial situation. I want to make my money. I want to change this company.
Because we're scared a lot, right?
Yeah, well, a lot of it comes back to fear. Mm-hmm. And I think our planet here is a classroom for overcoming fear. That's just as a side note. So
good point.
But if we want to change things, it has to really start with ourselves. And it really goes back to the Oracle of Delphi, to know thyself, because for every decision that we make, and our life is all about decisions from the moment we get up in the morning and we decide to have a tea or a coffee, to the book we read at night, to the job or to the relationship that we engage with, it's all about decisions. For every single decision, we basically have three choices. I'm okay with it, I'm not okay with it, or I don't care. So if we look at global warming, for example, I can say I'm okay with it and there's nothing that I need to do. I can say I don't care and there's nothing that I need to do. But as soon as I say I'm not okay with it, another question comes up, which means, what can I do?
Hmm.
And this question, what can I do, decides everything that we do in life, decides who we are. It's the seed for every company, for every greatness that has been created, whether it's Mahatma Gandhi's work, whether it's the foundation of Microsoft or Facebook. And this question, what can I do, rephrased, is who am I in relationship to this event? So the question, who am I, in my perspective, is really the only question worth asking in this lifetime, because it defines everything that we decide for, that we engage with, and who we are.
So when you started, how long ago did Conscious Business Institute get going?
I founded it about 3.5 years ago.
Okay, so tell us, I'm very interested in how it, what can I do? Who am I? How did it unfold for you? What did you learn as you began? And is it quite large now, or is it, seems like you've got a lot going on.
Well, I got a bit going on. It's small. It's still very small. And the process is something that's actually very interesting, because it's not the typical process that I'm used to, for example, as a venture capitalist. As you come up with a strategy, with a business plan, you execute according to it, you have a goal, and then you follow that goal and you change things around if it doesn't work that way. That's not the process how the Conscious Business Institute grew. On the contrary, first of all, when I put this little two-pager out, when I founded it and 16 people got on board, it was because of a strong vision. They
right.
just completely resonated with this vision. The next phase was that all of these people got together on the phone for quite a while, and then everybody wanted to participate, but that there was a lot of talk and not clarity what we're actually going to do with it.
Mm.
So we followed the next breadcrumb, which is, well, we just need to go into a company and do it. And so I basically, a small group of people, four people, got together and said, let's go into these small startup companies because we can make a difference. And we thought if we bring some switched on people to the team, that the company would get switched on. Some things would change.
Oh, that you would go into small startups and switch them on, sort of thing?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. And we did that. We made a big difference, but we saw eventually there was a time that four startups that we were engaged with had a major issue at the same time. Integrity issues, money wasn't paid, overselling, real issues. People were completely overworked, the same issues that we see in today's companies.
Hmm.
And so it prompted me to pull the trigger and say, stop, we need to stop this because it does not do what we want it to do.
Mm-hmm.
And basically I retreated for 9 months and looked at all these things that I've done before, how I worked with leaders, and saw that actual differences were made. And I basically developed this approach, this new leadership paradigm, and this new approach that we are now working with, which we are now taking to market. So it's really, rather than having a big strategy and following it,
mm-hmm.
which I find with a lot of companies that are built in this new way, it's really finding the next breadcrumb. What's the next breadcrumb? How can we execute on that?
And you said, well, you stumbled up against the issue of integrity. And I thought, my first thought was, that's a pretty common issue in big business and money, isn't it?
Yes.
So are you able to, so talk about that. How do you deal with that with people?
Well, first of all, we have to ask why we're out of integrity. And it goes back to what you've said earlier. It's fear. For
mm-hmm.
example, if we have an opportunity to engage into a contract which promises us a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
That's an integrity question. Does it align with our values, or let's just take this money because we desperately need it here, although we might kind of sacrifice our integrity a little bit, our values? Those are the little decisions which ultimately lead us to lose integrity,
mm-hmm.
and it's based on fear, obviously. So what we do is what I call build an essence-based business. And by essences, I mean a new set of values. And it's actually, essences are the feeling states that we experience when we want something. So let's look at it on an individual level. If you or I, for example, want some more money, or we want to have a beautiful house by the beach, or we want to have a Porsche in the garage, for example, we think that it's those things that we want, but what we really want is the feeling states that we feel when we have them.
Right.
So if we have the money,
mm-hmm.
I don't want the $5 million in the bank. What I want is the sense of freedom, the peace of mind, the sense of achievement, those kind of things.
Right.
Now, why is that important? First, because I might never get the $5 million or $10 million in the bank that I want. I might never get there, or it might take me 10, 15 years. So the journey might be quite strenuous, which we see all around us. People are exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, once I have those 5 million in the bank, I might sense some freedom, but usually the same life kicks back in. We take ourselves wherever we go, as you said earlier, and life back goes back to normal, and it doesn't shift to the amount that I expected it to shift. Thirdly, there's nothing that prevents me from feeling what I really want to feel, the freedom, the peace of mind now,
mm-hmm.
in every moment of my life. So, for example, if I want to have freedom, if I know that I want to have freedom but not the money, I can take regular walks by the beach. I can take my motorcycle for a ride. I can take bike trips, which will provide me with the same amount of freedom, and the body does not distinguish whether it comes from money or whether it comes from a bike ride.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, we nurture this freedom, and it grows in our lives. So how does this apply to the business setting, for example? These essences, the feeling states that we determine are the key drivers of the people inside a company, become the values of a company. And they're not dead, they're not a plaque against the wall, but they're actually lived by the people because that's what drives them, which is a big difference. The second thing is that these essences are basically a litmus test for our decisions. So when we get this deal that makes us a lot of money, maybe, we can vet it against the essences that we have. Does it provide us freedom? Does it provide us with adventure? Does it provide us with integrity? Does it provide us with whatever our essences are?
Mm.
So aligning our decisions with the essences keeps the company in integrity and authentic to its core message, to its brand in the market.
So if a company were developing itself, all of the members would then key into their response to keep the business flowing? Is that to key into their essence,
yes,
or to drop into their essence?
Yes.
But everyone would do that.
That's obviously a process that we do with companies to distill these essences. And we first do it with a leadership team to really create the essences of a company. They don't change over time. They're timeless.
Hmm.
So what is really the key essence, the key values of the company? And then we expand the circle and we go into the second level management team. We go into the entire team of the business and see whether people are aligned with that. What are their essences? And it becomes very clear very fast which people are aligned to the mission of the company and which are not. And oftentimes there's a transition that is conjunction with that. But we can build a team that actually aligns to these key values.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it becomes a metric for when we hire people, for example, are new people supporting these essences?
Hmm. That's actually a really wonderful process, isn't it? It's a real individuation.
It's very rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe the whole world could run like that.
Yeah.
And then what do you do?
Well, that's just a part of one process that we do with companies.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, we work on this dominance and subservience model. We work on these essences. We work with individuals, with a leadership team, to really distill what they want, what drives them, what is their personality. What do they do naturally, and to strengthen those gifts and to help them benefit the company. And then after we do that, this is an interesting part which is new, is we look at the flip side, at what we call the emotional system of the business, which prevents people from doing what they want to do. The emotional system determines whether we experience stress in our life or whether we experience flow in our lives.
Hmm. I was reading on your website and listening to some of your prior interviews and so on, and talking about the emotional system of the business is very, very interesting to me, because what you were saying, and I'll get you to say it better than I will now, but that we're all responsible for the resistances and the emotions going on in a business that can create a destructive atmosphere, aren't we?
Yes. So, yeah, and I think that's what leaders want. They want people to be responsible and accountable, and that's what makes the difference, to realize how we are responsible, how our emotional system contributes to the emotional system of the company,
mm-hmm.
and to any struggle or dysfunction or any problem that it might experience.
So in many ways, that's already really empowering, perhaps even the little guy, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's the main difference that we see in companies, is that through our process, by becoming accountable, moving away from this model of dominance and subservience, we establish a new leadership paradigm where not the 1% of the companies are leaders and 99% are quote-unquote followers, but where everybody becomes accountable and a leader on their own accord in the company. Doesn't matter whether it's the top executive or the administrative assistant.
Well, now, can you mention the names of big companies that we might know of that would understand this or would actually work with this?
That we have worked with?
Yeah, either that you've worked with or models that you would admire.
Well, Cisco, for example, is attempting to implement this model, and I think they've done very well in the first stage.
And they're huge, aren't they?
Yeah, they're huge. They're huge. John Chambers has realized that he's the bottleneck some time ago, and so he said we need to really leverage the leadership all across the organization.
Wow. And that took a lot of integrity in his part to know that, huh?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think companies that have implemented more is businesses like Patagonia, for example, or The Body Shop.
Okay.
Yeah, where it's really ingrained in the culture that people take this leadership responsibility. And I don't mean they have the say, the final say in everything. I don't mean that. But that people, for example, an administrative assistant is aware of her strengths and abilities and fully steps up and contributes those to the company.
And I think you mentioned Southwest Airlines in one of your talks as well.
Yes, yeah.
They're pretty good as well. So tell us about the people, the companies that you're working with and perhaps some of the trends. Are people more amenable to this? Are you getting people coming and learning from you and with you?
Yes. So far, we have worked a lot with smaller companies to assess these processes and to vet them out, to hone them, to pilot them, etc. And we're just going out to larger companies now, and we are in touch with 6-7 really large companies, worldwide companies, that are really intrigued with this. And really, actually, everybody who we talk to, when we address these things, they say, my God, this is right on. Because currently our world is in turmoil. It's changing. Not only the financial crisis, but companies are so confronted with really relentless challenges. The financial crisis, emerging competition from China and India, the climate crisis, changing personal values, war, terrorism, all these kind of things. They know that the world is not going to go back to normal.
Right. Or normal has changed radically, hasn't it?
Normal has changed radically, and it will not go back. Globalization is one of the key issues, yes. The
yeah.
world has shrunk. The world is flat, as Thomas Friedman puts it. Nobody of us has been here before. It's really uncharted territories that leaders and businesses are entering. And change is the new rule. Change is going to be permanent. And there's a lot of resistance in teams to change. The fear issue. Am I going to be on my job tomorrow? What's going to happen a couple of years down the road? Leaders are really challenged not with operational or process issues. They've got that down during the past decades. Now they're challenged with personal and emotional issues. And we have not learned that in leadership schools how to deal with that. So leadership teams need to get into the heads of their people. They need to change mindsets. That's one of the results of a recent IBM study, that the key issue in companies is to get into the heads of people and to change their mindsets.
Well, even just talking about the emotional nature of big companies, that to me is a very rare kind of statement.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, it's a rare statement, mm-hmm. but companies are realizing the importance. And there are recent studies out, for example, by Yale University, that our power, our deciding mechanism lies on an emotional and instinctual level to 80%.
Hmm.
And companies are currently operating on rational decisions. We think we make rational decisions, but we really don't. So if they want to engage people, what really needs to be addressed is their emotions and their instincts.
So when you say sure. rational decisions, I think of people who are being political behind the scenes and underhanded and all that. Is that what we're talking about as well?
We are talking about that as well, but also by rational decisions is just statistics. You know, mm-hmm. if I'm talking to somebody and explain to him in a rational way why we have to lay you off or why we have to give you furlough you or something,
mm-hmm.
or why you have to be engaged, why this company is good, nobody's going to buy into that anymore.
Mm-mm.
it just doesn't work anymore. It just doesn't get people. There have been too many lies out there and too many false promises. People are not buying into that anymore. What people want is to be fully engaged on an emotional level. They want to buy into something.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be part of a movement. And so companies need to change from being a company to being really a movement that people can lock into.
Wow. So the whole nature of companies is going to change.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. It's a long haul. And I guess our promise or our desire is not really to change the world, because we would be pushing energy then. And that's not the whole point. What we do is we really provide a new paradigm that people resonate with and say, this is something that I find intriguing.
So you facilitate a kind of an empowerment in people, don't you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very much so.
And then what about funding and monies? It's sort of interesting because it seems with the global financial thing that the money is no longer available. Is that true? Is that just something we hear?
Well, there's tons of money out there. People are just holding it back. And there are good reasons for that, because they are uncertain whether it's going to give their returns or not. But there's always tons of money out there to be invested, looking for good opportunities. But right now, we have to also look at the way how we invest in companies. The current model for investing in startup companies, the venture capitalist model, is being reevaluated because the short-term returns, you have to meet quarterly goals. If you don't meet your goals, we're going to change the executive team. It doesn't sustain a business. It doesn't allow to build a sustainable, healthy company.
Hmm.
It's for the profits. Hmm. And the same for Wall Street. The relentless quarterly growth paradigm, it just doesn't allow for long-term building of value. And more and more companies realize and move away from that and say, you know, I really want to build a long-term valuable company. And, you know, if the next quarter doesn't come out right, we might get a beating on Wall Street, but it's going to be okay. But there needs to be some change in the governance at the board level of companies, so that the board brings the patience and say, you know, I trust this leader. I'm not going to evaluate him on a quarter-to-quarter basis. I'm going to evaluate him on the longer-term vision and how he can fulfill that. That will need to change.
What do you think about the word? I'm a metaphysician, and the word amongst a lot of people, including metaphysicians, is the big new wave is going to be very entrepreneurial rather than big and corporate. Do you think that's true?
Yes and no. I think the corporations are really desiring to change because they see the need. And they have the capital to change. They have the muscle to change. I think some corporations will lead the change and will be in a very, very good position and will provide the model for how a corporation looks in the next decade or the next 2 decades. But at the same time, this is a crisis in which we are in, and it's always been an ideal situation for entrepreneurs because there are people available. They're all looking for new positions. They're all being tired of their jobs or laid off, so they're available. And things are cheap these days, so you can get people cheap. You can get a lot of things cheap, so you can actually take the time to develop a product and then come out to the market when the market recovers. So I think it is a great opportunity for entrepreneurs.
And you work with individuals, whether it's individuals in corporate management and leadership or entrepreneurs, and I've got a whole list here, right?
Yes.
Do you,
we have two sweet spots, which is companies usually between 15 and 200 million in revenues that really want to grow their company in a different way, and then departments of larger companies or the entire organization. But we also, more on a reactive basis, work with smaller companies if they really want to make the change.
Hmm.
What we request from companies is the openness and willingness to look at new ways.
Hmm.
Otherwise, we're not really interested.
It's very exciting. And so what do you think the percentage is of this change? Do you think it's moving through? I believe a lot of things move through our species. You know, we sort of wake up to new levels of consciousness. Do you think that's what's happening with business?
Yeah, I
think so. Or is that too optimistic?
Well, I'm not sure whether I can generalize that, because as long as we are run by this model of dominance and subservience, we'll always fall back into the old patterns. But what I see is that there's a big yearning, and the yearning and the pressure grows because we are really under a lot of pressure in these financial times and what we will be facing during the next 10 years. And as the pressure grows, people are looking for alternative ways.
Mm.
And so they are asking for it. And I think that's the big shift that we're seeing, changing personal values. And, you know, the old way doesn't work anymore. People have figured that one out.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the new age paradigm, which promised if you just think positive and visualize, things will become all honky-dory in your life. And that's a big setup. And I think a lot of people are extremely frustrated by that right now.
Mm-hmm.
They realize that it doesn't work anymore, because if it worked, everybody who visualize and think positive would drive their BMW, live in big mansions, and be financially free. And that's clearly not the case.
Mm.
Really, clearly, I'm very much distancing myself and our company from this new age paradigm, because I don't think it works.
Because a lot of it's based on denial.
Yes.
And denial doesn't work very well anywhere, does
yeah.
it? Right. And fear. This is the other thing. We're pumped with fear in this society. Media, you know, the whole thing about media and fear and so on. I think what you seem to be talking about from my perspective is people beginning to look at their fears and release some of those. Is that right? Is that part
yeah,
of your...
Yeah, to become real. To become real and look at the underbelly of things. You know, we can visualize and look at the rosy things all the time, but if we are deep down, if we want to be financially independent because we are avoiding future pain,
mm-hmm.
manipulate what others think about us, or those kind of things, then we are really making that decision out of fear, and it's not going to be supported.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not going to be supported by the universe. So it gives us an opportunity to say, why am I really choosing, or why do I want these 5 million in my bank?
Right.
Is it because I want to manipulate what other people think about me, avoid future pain or those things, manipulate an outcome which I'm not certain about? And those inquiries are important because they provide the integrity why we make certain decisions.
Well, so you're saying basically that when people are propped up by their circumstance and they have an identity that says I have $5 million, that's really not the authentic nature anyway, is it?
No, it's not the authentic nature. It's really run by a paradigm. It's a formula that basically defines how we operate in this world, which is we do a lot. We overwork.
Mm-hmm.
We accumulate a lot of resources, and then we become somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And that formula needs to be scrapped, replaced by another one, which is we really do what our gifts inspire. And we receive essence. We receive the feeling states that we want to experience. We contribute value. And so this is the new paradigm for success, really. What is it that we want to contribute?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of values do we want to receive and contribute?
I know you don't want to change the world necessarily. You don't want to take on that huge responsibility. But it seems like in your Conscious Business Institute, you're actually emanating a stronger consciousness. What am I trying to say? Kind of waves of evolution are kind of moving out from your organization, aren't they?
Yes.
That does actually change the world from some limited way, or, you know.
Well, if that's the result, I'll be happy with it.
Tell me about you. Are you really enjoying doing this? Is this exciting for you?
Oh, I don't want to do anything else.
Okay.
Compared to what I was doing before, where I was making a lot of money, or I was not making a lot of money and have a lot of time, this is actually something that I want to be doing. And for the first time in my life, I'm at a point where I said, it doesn't really matter whether it takes 2, 3, 4, 5 years or whether it takes 10 years. This is what I would like to be doing.
That's wonderful.
I really have to say, honestly, that not every day is rosy. I'm facing my challenges. I'm overworked at times where I say, my God, poof, I need to rest a little bit because this is not fun anymore.
Mm.
So it doesn't take away the day-to-day, we just got to get it done stuff. There's always some what we call burger flipping in there.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at anything that has been achieved in our world here, there's always been the challenge part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's that easy, I've never seen it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have any other examples of businesses that you've gotten going or that you're working with?
Yeah, there's one that comes to mind. It's a rather small business. It was about $1 million in revenues, and they had about the same amount of revenues for 6 to 7 years, and they couldn't break through this glass ceiling. They couldn't break the $1 million. And when the CEO contacted me and said, can you help? We just started working with him and two other people in the team. There were about 6-7 people in the company. And after about 18 months of working with him on the phone, he called me and said, Peter, I don't know what happened, but our company grew to $7 million in revenues, and I have no idea what happened. You helped us operationally, but there was an energy shift in the company through the emotional system that we addressed that helped us break through this barrier. So he was able to attract other people that helped build the company. He was able to really increase their revenue substantially, build a real company around it, and also to get into a position where he would actually much more enjoy his work, be more balanced, do more that he enjoys, etc. And lastly, what happened is, for example, that we worked with an administrative assistant that he wanted us to work with. And at the time we started working, she was not engaged in the company. She was ready to be checked out. She was there for a long time. She was really the mother of the company, as it turns out. And after working with her, what happened is that she understood and she claimed her leadership role as the nurturing part, the mother of the company. So she was really the counterpart to the CEO, highly important role, although it was completely undervalued as an administrative assistant. So it turned out once she claimed this role and she understood her role, people would come to her and say, you know, we would like to work with this company. It's such a nice atmosphere here. People stayed because of her. And she was brought into basically every meeting as a right hand to the CEO, as a leader, as a female counterpart for him.
So you're actually expressing how that emotional, the emotional nature of a company is so, it's actually changeable, but it needs to be addressed, eh?
Yes. That's we look at the emotional blueprint of an organization, make people accountable to it and say, oh my God, because it's usually in people's blind spots. The leaders do not see why things don't work. That's why traditional consulting approaches don't really work sustainably, because these emotional issues are usually in the blind spot of the company's leaders. So once we make them aware of it, they go, oh my God, this is what's happening all the time. This is why I'm experiencing stress or struggle in my company or my private life. And then we bring it together in a team where we say, okay, now we need to change this emotional blueprint.
Yeah, because that used to be taboo to discuss the emotional nature of businesses, didn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it just wasn't a subject that I heard anyway. So,
well, it wasn't a subject, but it's becoming much more important now.
I'm so glad. I mean, that's really going to change things. I'm very excited about your institute and about your work. And before we end, are you speaking somewhere? Is there something we should pay attention to? People can tune into your website, and maybe you want to give them that address.
The web address is www.consciousbusinessinstitute.com, all one word. There is currently nothing scheduled where we speak because we are really focusing to go out into the world with this. But what I encourage people to just sign up online for a newsletter so you can get posted when we speak or when papers or interviews or articles about these things become available.
And you have a variety of services that you provide already, right? Even before you go raging out into the world to change the world, Peter.
Person is our business at a time.
You do coaching. You help people on the executive corporate level or on the individual level, right?
Yes, we do. Yeah, it's coaching, but it's really more. It's really human development. It's really helping people to get into the position where they're fully empowered, where they do what they love, and where it helps grow the business.
Well, it helps grow our society, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. We're here in person with Peter. Hi, Peter. How are you tonight?
Hello. I'm very good. Thank you, Veronica.
I really enjoyed our conversation, and now it's time for a few questions. We don't have a long time, so I have a couple of questions here. Did you have any sent to you?
No. Go ahead.
Okay, one of the things I'd like to ask about is, what do you see for social networking and consciousness in business? You know the social networking that's been going on lately? Do you see any correlation there, any connection?
Yeah. I think social networking is a great movement, first of all, because it's about connection. And connection is one of the key things that we desire in our life. So it provides a really good means to connect what our world needs on a global level, people that don't know each other, that have missed each other for a long time, etc. I don't know, you can spin everything in a conscious way and in an unconscious way, so I don't really have any particular take on it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's
spinning a lot of business?
Whether it's spinning a lot of business, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's changing the way businesses are run. And you can see that with all companies coming up on Twitter, they're going up on Just Means, on Facebook. They know that this is a really important medium for them.
Yeah, and it occurred to me it's all about personal and human interaction, isn't it, to build it up that way?
It's personal and human interaction, and it also provides a new feedback mechanism for companies. And I think in that way it increases the consciousness, because suddenly everybody can put a word out and place a post on Facebook or somewhere, and the company leader gets to know it from the bottom up, and everybody else gets to know it as well, what's going on in the company.
And I think it's really exciting because we don't know where it's going to go because it's so new, right?
Yeah, that's the exciting part.
You know, I have a question for you from Jackie Salviti. She asked if you are conscious of or if you use the model of the archetypes. Do you see archetypes playing out in companies?
Yeah, I use that model. I'm familiar with it, but I'm usually not including it into the work that we do, because we've just found other models that work better for us.
Okay. Now there's something else. Somebody was asking me about, what about co-op businesses and so on? Do you think that's a part of the future? This woman was asking specifically about setting up a co-op art business.
Yeah, I think I'm not very familiar with that form of business. I've worked with a couple of co-ops in the agriculture organic sector, and I really, really like what they're doing because it's really about shared resources.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of building your own, again, it goes back to the model of dominance and subservience, building your own dominating tower and own everything and be the biggest honcho in the place, it's not really the way to go anymore. Mm-hmm. So to group together and to cooperate in one of these co-ops, to share resources and to be lean and mean, and really provide the value that you want to provide without really the necessity of building a big administration around it. I think it's really helpful. I think it's really an interesting way to go.
And then what about, you know, in corporations, what do you think about, what is it, shared ownership, shares amongst employees and so on, you know, corporate shares?
Yeah, that's an interesting part. I think I have a lot to say about that, actually.
Go ahead, you're on. You have at least...
We all want to have an ownership in something. And I think people are seeing that if I get shares in the company, I have more ownership in the company. And we've gone a long way because it's all affiliated with money. We have an ownership in the company, and eventually it's going to make us money. So it always goes back to this money equation.
Mm-hmm.
But
doesn't it also go back with the two, you were teaching us that you work with people becoming who they really are, being authentic in the business. If they are authentic, they would want to have some financial base in it, wouldn't they?
Yes, they might want to have some financial base, or they might just want to support the mission. So we see ownership as something different as having a stake in the company. I can have ownership of something when I'm a part of a business without necessarily owning a share, but I'm really contributing and living up to the vision of the company. And I know that my values, my work is contributing to that. Now, if I, on top of that, have ownership in the company and I get financially rewarded for that, great. But if you look at companies like Patagonia, for example, they work extremely well and extremely successful, and they're not public. They're privately held companies. And so even if you had an ownership in the company, it wouldn't be worth very much. You couldn't just sell it to anybody. So I think To answer your question in a little different way, what companies are looking for is really engagement and ownership mentality of the people. Mm-hmm. And instead of giving them shares, we need to think about this new model, which I addressed with the essences. If my essences are being fulfilled in the company, I have a sense of ownership. This is my thing because it provides me with the life that I want to live in. And it doesn't need to necessarily have financial association with it.
Hmm. Well, that makes
sense. So I think you just rethink that.
Mm-hmm. It's the integrity, the authenticity that work brings us, eh?
Yes.
So how does a corporation that's having people be self-actualizing handle all kinds of different ideas coming from people, or is that getting too far out there? Is that stretching too far?
No, not at all. This world is all about different ideas, and conflict is actually great because it usually we grow in those areas where we have conflict, where we've mastered the conflict.
Hmm.
And I usually say, which I think is a little different approach to relationship. If you look at a relationship between a man and a woman or two people, the quality of the relationship is determined by the space between the people and the way they handle conflict.
Hmm.
And so conflict is always going to be there because it's the nature of things. There's always going to be different opinions, but whether it turns into an emotional, I'm right, you're wrong kind of thing, or whether we can have the conflict in the way where we can actually harness what's good in it, the innovation, the creativity, the new ideas, that's what's going to make the difference.
So does Conscious Business Institute work with conflict quite a bit?
Yes. Yeah, we mediate quite a lot because that's what we just do. And we make people aware of their true nature so they can get their emotions out of the way when differences arise, so they don't take it personal, so that we don't work our emotions and our egos, but we work the problem and actually solve the problem and focus our energy on that.
Hmm. So, well, golly, we're kind of running up to the top of the hour, so I'd like you to give how we can get hold of you and maybe a little bit about where you're going to be presenting or what's coming up for you.
We're just going out to talk to a range of companies. So we're actually publicly speaking probably sometime in the Bay Area and sometime up in over in New York, and we're giving kind of an open house for companies that are interested in these approaches. And the best way to get in touch is through our website, www.consciousbusinessinstitute.com, or via email at info@consciousbusinessinstitute.com, or via our toll-free phone line, which is 888-292-8420.
And tell me this, Peter. I mean, I think this is a really exciting subject. Are you seeing that this is kind of rippling around the world, not just from your company, but that as a trend of awareness, a trend of consciousness, of course?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a small community still. And I said it in the interview a little earlier. Most people will just continue as is, business as usual. But there are a few people who are waking up to this, and you can find them all around the globe. You'll bump into them over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I get emails from people in Italy, from people in Pakistan, from people in China, everywhere. And it's these little seeds that are growing everywhere. We are always want the same things, and we're yearning for the same stuff. It doesn't matter whether you talk to a Japanese person, to a European person, or to an American person. And so I think a lot of people are getting ready and are just waiting for the right means to hook onto and for the right guidance and for the right network to become a part of. And
well,
so we obviously want to provide that movement.
That's wonderful. Well, I thank you so much for tuning back in with us. I've enjoyed the interview, and I love knowing you guys are out there making a difference on the planet.
Well, thank you. We're having fun at it, and thank you very much for this.
Thank you, and thank you for the second section tonight and answering those questions. Take care,
You're
Peter.
Welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
So this is Veronica Entwistle. That was our paradigm shifter tonight, and it's nice to know that business itself has ripples of paradigm shifting going on all over the world, albeit small. I think it's growing. My personal thing is so many people are wising up and awakening that I think Peter's going to have a rather big group to manage in a short period of time. This is Veronica Entwistle saying tune in on Thursday night at 7 o'clock for Radiance by Design. It's a call-in show. You can call in and ask questions. We're going to talk about you and how to move through some of the blocks in your own authenticity, going back to Peter's word, and talk with my guides and angels. We're going to do some meditations, and then at 8 o'clock, we move to Jackie Salvitti's ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. Jackie's a wonderful healer, and she's going to be talking for the first section and then her team. She channels her team, and I get to ask them all kinds of questions about what is reality, what is ascension, and how do we get there. And I'm not really sure who my guest is next Tuesday night, so if you'd like to have a session with me, or you'd like to get on my mailing list, or you'd like to give some feedback on Peter Matisse and Conscious Business Institute, or make some suggestions for a different interviewees, email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. That's veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. And thank you ever so much. Let's all take a minute and draw in some light, breathe it in, and breathe it out to one another, to our paradigm-shifting community, and thanks to VBS, and we'll see you on Thursday night. Blessings.